Last night, we stopped at a place where Buddha stated the results of meditation, results of stopping at only what is seen and so on. Today we will begin with that statement. When Malunga Buddha, of those things seen, heard, reached and cognized, in what is seen there will be only the seen, in what is heard there will be only the heard, in what is reached there will be only the reached, and in what is cognized there will be only the cognized, then you will not be with that. When Malunga Buddha, you are not with that, then Malunga Buddha, you will not be there, or you will not be on that. When Malunga Buddha, you are not on that, you will not be here, nor there, nor in both. That is the end of suffering. So by this passage, the Buddha showed the results of the practice of meditation, results of having just the seen when something is seen and so on. So here the Buddha said, then you will not be with that. So if you can stop at just seeing, or just the seeing when you see something, just the heart when you hear something and so on, you will not be with that. That means you will not be with attachment or anger or delusion. If you can stop in the middle of the first thought process, or at the end of the first thought process, or at the end of the second thought process, you will have no attachment or anger or delusion with regard to that object, because you have applied mindfulness and you have observed it thoroughly, so that there can be no chance of attachment, anger and delusion to come to you. So you will not be with that. You will not be with attachment, anger or delusion. When you are not with that, then you will not be there, or you will not be on that. That means when you have no attachment with regard to these objects, you will not be on that. You will not be stuck on those objects with attachment or with anger or with delusion. So in effect, these two statements mean that's the same thing. Not be with that and not be on there. It means just the same thing, that you will not have any attachment or hatred or anger or delusion with regard to these objects. So when you are not with attachment, anger and delusion, you will not be stuck on that object with anger, hatred and delusion. And when you are not there, or when you are not on that, you will not be here, nor there, nor in both. That means the person whom you call you will be not in this life, not in next life, and not in both. And that is the end of suffering. So when you are not here, not there, and not in both, and that is the end of suffering. So that is Nibbana. When, with regard to objects seen and so on, you do not have attachment, hatred, or delusion. You will be gaining a realization of truth at that moment. So at the moment of realization of truth, your mind is on Nibbana. At that moment, you are not conscious of yourself, your physical body, or your other mental activities. Your mind is on Nibbana, so that It can be said that you are not in this life, or you are not here, or you are not in next life, or you are not there, or you are not in both here and there. Because at that very moment, you lose everything. There is nothing but nibbana at that time. So, when we are without attachment or hatred or delusion with regard to objects, we gain realization of truth. And that is the end of suffering. That is nibbana. There is another explanation with regard to this last sentence, and that is, you will not be there means you will not be attached to, you will not be here means you will not be attached to the six senses, eyes, ears, and so on. And you will not be there means you will not be attached to the six kinds of objects. And you will not be somewhere else. That means you will not be attached to the seeing consciousness and so on. So, in the act of seeing, we have at least three components. The eye and the object which is seeing, and the seeing or seeing consciousness. But when you apply mindfulness, when you watch the visible object, when you apply mindfulness and thoroughly contemplate on it, you will not be attached to the eye, or you will not be attached to the visible object, or you will not be attached to the seeing consciousness. If you are not attached to these things, you are not attached to anything. And at that moment, you are said to be experiencing a kind of nibbana. Maybe we could call it a momentary nibbana. That is, extinction of defilement by the momentary application of mindfulness. And this momentary mindfulness, or this momentary eradication of defilements by mindfulness, will one day help you to gain a real realization or real eradication of mental defilement, taking nibbana as the object. So, the last sentence can mean, if you have no attachment to things, then you will have no attachment to the senses or to the objects or to the seeing consciousness and so on. And that is the end of suffering. That is nibbana. So this is the end result, or this is the benefit of the practice of mindfulness or satipatthana vipassana meditation. Now, since Malankara Buddha asked the Buddha to teach him in brief, Buddha taught him very briefly. It takes about 10 sentences or 10 lines, and so it is not easy to understand. But Malankara Buddha seems to understand it very properly. He might have learned something before he came to the Buddha. So when Buddha suggests these words, just a very brief statement of the mindfulness meditation, he understood this brief statement in full, in detail. And he not only understood the meaning of what the Buddha said in detail, but he spoke out to the Buddha that he understood in detail, and also how he understood. So he stated his understanding and 24 brothers. You know, there are six kinds of objects: sight, sound, odor, taste, touch, and Dhamma objects. And with regard to each kind of object, there are two sides. One is, let us call, dark side, and the other, bright side or white side. Dark side is where a person gets attached to things seen, heard, and so on. And the bright side is where a person applies mindfulness and does not get attachment. So with regard to each side, he, Malankya Buddha, uttered two verses. So there are four verses for each kind of object. And since there are six kinds of objects, there are altogether 24 verses. So the Sutta said, "Indeed, Lord, I understand in full the meaning of what the Blessed One has spoken in brief. Mindfulness is lost to him who, having seen a visible object, reflects upon the sign of beauty. Being of mind fills with attachment, he enjoys it and dwells following it. To such a person, diverse feelings dependent upon the visible object multiply. Covetousness and aversion torment his mind. To him who thus accumulates karma formations, suffering arises. For such a person, Nibbana is said to be far away." So this is the dark side. So he said, mindfulness is lost to him who, having seen a visible object, reflects upon the sign of beauty. If we do not apply mindfulness, then we tend to take the sign of beauty. That means, after seeing something, and if we do not apply mindfulness, we take it to be beautiful, we take it to be agreeable. And it is the nature of beings to want to see beautiful things. So people find beauty in this thing, beauty in that thing, beauty in nature, and beauty in animals, beauty in birds, and so on. And then they try to enjoy beauty. But Buddha's advice is just the opposite of that. If you take the sign of beauty, if you reflect upon the sign of beauty, if you think something is beautiful, then you will lose mindfulness. Actually, losing mindfulness and taking the sign of beauty are one and the same thing. When you take the sign of beauty, you lose mindfulness. And when you lose mindfulness, you take the sign of beauty. So if you see something and you think it is beautiful, it is pretty, then you lose mindfulness. Buddha's Dhamma is going upstream and not going with the current. So everything seems to be opposite of what people are doing in the world. So at least during a meditation retreat, try not to enjoy. Not to enjoy beauty of nature, not to enjoy beauty of flowers, beauty of birds, because when you enjoy beauty of anything, that means you lose mindfulness. What happens when a person loses mindfulness? Being of mind fills with attachment. He enjoys it. When you think something is beautiful, then there is attachment, there is greed, there is desire to possess it. And so being of mind fills with attachment. He enjoys it, he experiences it with attachment. And dwells following it. And since he thinks it is beautiful, he as it were follows it, he takes it to his heart, and he wants to keep it in himself and so on. So being of mind filled with attachment, he enjoys it and dwells swallowing it. To such a person, diverse feelings dependent upon the visible object multiply. So to a person who does not apply mindfulness and see the sign of beauty and attach to it, to that person, diverse feelings dependent upon visible objects multiply. So when he sees a beautiful object or an agreeable object, he has a good feeling, a pleasant feeling. When the object is a disagreeable one, he has an unpleasant feeling. So he has diverse feelings, various feelings dependent upon this visible object. And these feelings multiply. So when the object is good, he has good feeling or pleasant feeling, and when the object is a bad one, he has the unpleasant feeling. And when these feelings multiply, what happens? Covetousness and aversion torment his mind. So he has this feeling, and when the object is a agreeable one, then he covetousness torments his mind. He likes the object and he wants to possess it if it is not his. And he may even try to take it by force or by any means. So there is covetousness arise in him, and so his mind is tormented by covetousness. If he sees an object which is disagreeable, then he will feel anger. He will feel aversion. So aversion also torments his mind. Even with regard to an agreeable object, there can be aversion, because when that agreeable object has disappeared or is destroyed, then sorrow or lamentation come to him, and so he is tormented by, or his mind is tormented by, sorrow, lamentation, which is a kind of aversion. So to such a person, covetousness, or loba, and aversion, dosa, torment his mind. To him who thus accumulates karma formation, suffering arises. So when covetousness or aversion arises in a person, that means he accumulates karma formation. He accumulates what we call karma. He accumulates deeds. Here, unwholesome deeds, because covetousness and aversion belong to unwholesome states of mind. So when covetousness and aversion come into his mind, he accumulates karma formation. When there are karma formations, when there are unwholesome deeds, suffering arises. That means there is the rebirth. I mean, there is the rebirth. And dependent upon rebirth, there is aging, disease, death, sorrow, lamentation, and so on. And so suffering arises, suffering increases. So such a person, Nibbana, is said to be far away. So a person who does not apply mindfulness whenever he sees an object is far from Nibbana. So this is the dark side of seeing an object. Let us go to the bright side of seeing an object. He who, having seen a visible object, is mindful immediately afterwards, is not attached to things. This is the opposite of the dark side. So here, this person is a yogi, a meditator, and so having seen a visible object, he is mindful immediately afterwards. That means immediately after seeing, he applies mindfulness, like seeing, if it is sound, hearing. So he applies mindfulness immediately afterwards. If he forgets to apply mindfulness, if he remembers to apply mindfulness after some time, it may not be said to have applied mindfulness, because it is important that you apply mindfulness immediately after seeing, right after seeing. So here, this yogi practices mindfulness meditation, and so he is mindful immediately afterward. Such a person is not attached to being seen. So he applies mindfulness immediately, and so he is not attached to things which are seen. He has seen the things, visible objects, but he is not attached to these things. He experiences them with mind unattached, and dwells not following them. Although he is not attached to these things, yet he experiences them, but with his mind unattached. Although he is not attached, he can experience these things. And since he is unattached, he does not dwell swallowing them. So he dwells not swallowing them. He does not take them to heart. He does not say these things in his mind. To him who does observe visible objects and experiences feeling, defilements disappear, they do not increase. So the one who observes visible objects and experiences feelings, that means who is mindful, defilements disappear, attachment disappear means does not arise, anger disappears, does not arise, illusion does not disappear and does not arise. So defilements disappear, they do not increase, because he has mindfulness and he applies mindfulness. So it is checked by mindfulness so that the defilement cannot arise in his mind with regard to that particular object. Thus he dwells with mindfulness. For him who does not accumulate karma formation, suffering does not arise. So when he applies mindfulness and he does not have attachment, hatred or delusion with regard to these things, defilements disappear, they do not arise. When defilements do not disappear, he does not accumulate any karma formation. When there are no karma formations, there can be no results of these formations in the shape of rebirth, aging, death, and so on. So for him who does not accumulate karma formation, suffering does not arise. Since there are no cause, there are no causes, there are no results. For such a person, Nibbana is said to be close at hand. So such a person is close to Nibbana. So a person who applies mindfulness immediately after seeing something is close to Nibbana. He will become enlightened in a short time. So this is the bright side of what is seen. Next is the dark side of what is heard. Mindfulness is lost to him who, having heard a sound, reflects upon the sign of beauty. Being of mind filled with attachment, he enjoys it and dwells swallowing it. To such a person, diverse feelings dependent upon the sound multiply. Covetousness and aversion torment his mind. To him who thus accumulates karma formations, suffering arises. For such a person, Nibbana is said to be far away. So, if we understand the first set of process, then we understand the other set also. Mindfulness is lost to him who, having heard a sound, reflects upon the sign of beauty. So after hearing a noise or sound, if we do not apply mindfulness, then we will take the sign of beauty. That means this noise or this sound is beautiful. So when we think the noise or sound is beautiful, we are attached to it. you like to stay being sound and righteous, and we like to possess the sound, and that is why people buy records and tapes and all these things. the price of their favorite singers, because when people hear that the voice of these persons, they say it is good, it is beautiful, and so they want to hear it again and again, because they have taken the sign of beauty, because they have decided that it is beautiful, it is agreeable. The ill of mind fills with attachment. He enjoys it and dwells following it. So he does not apply mindfulness when he hears the sound, and so he becomes attached to it. His mind is filled with attachment, and he enjoys it. He enjoys this sound, this noise again and again, and dwells following it. So he wants to possess it and tries to possess it. So sometimes just a sentence or a voice can be the object of intense attachment. If one is not mindful, and if one takes that sound or voice to be attractive or to be beautiful. Once the Buddha was invited to the palace for the wedding of his half-brother, Nanda. So he went there and he was served food. And after eating his meal, Buddha just handed his bowl to Prince Nanda, who was the bridegroom. And that means Nanda must take the bowl and go with the Buddha to the monastery. And Nanda had so much respect for the Buddha that he did not dare to refuse. So he had to pick up the bowl and go after the Buddha. So when the people saw this, they reported it to the bride, the princess. So the princess, with her hair half done, opened the window and looked and saw the prince following the Buddha. So she said, "Oh Lord Prince, come back soon." But when they reached the monastery, Buddha asked Nanda whether he would not want to ordain on the wedding day. But Nanda did not dare to say, "I don't want to ordain." So he said yes. So he was ordained. But he was not happy. He was not glad. So one day he could not bear it any longer.